Navigating Solo is the official Singles Adult Ministry podcast of the United Pentecostal Church International. Navigating Solo is dedicated to encouraging single adults in every stage of life by using biblical principles to navigate discussion on various topics. Here's your host, Dr. Lorraine Orozco.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Navigating Solo. Today, I have author and writer Paula Nielsen, and I'm so excited because she's going to be sharing some amazing things with us today. Hello, Paula. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Thanks for the invite.
I am going to just kind of just jump right in because there are so many things that we have to talk about, but I want to start off with getting our audience familiar with you and just kind of introducing yourself and just kind of talk to us a little bit about where you're from, your family, your ministry, and anything we kind of want to share today or you feel led to share today.
Sure. Well, I'm a third culture kid. So my parents were missionaries in Norway and Sweden. So I was raised in Scandinavia. But I tell people I'm from Minnesota. And about 6 years ago, I tell my family that I chose the bigger life and I moved to St. Louis. And so family, I delight in my family. I have two sons, Simeon and Austin, both grown. One is married. Austin is married to Kate, and they have two boys. I have two grandchildren. They live in St. Louis as well. Austin works in the technical ministry for his church, kind of like a video production. And he has worked with Christian record labels out of Nashville. And things like the last I heard is like Seventh Day Slumber, Firefly, and Newsboys. And then my other son, Simeon, he's my oldest, actually. He lives in Minneapolis. And I'm holding out for him to move to St. Louis. But he's a pilot for Delta. And he actually just got on with Delta. He had been on with Endeavor Airlines, but he flowed into Delta. So we're all happy for him and excited for him. And in terms of ministry, I do facilitate divorce care in my church. And then I also help with grief share. On occasion, I teach young ladies ages 10 to 15. We call them our GEMS group. I went on AIM to Scotland and I ended up staying for 10 months and ministered abroad there. I'm also a writer. I feel called to write, so I feel like I should put that as part of my ministry. I've written Hello New Life. Ostrich was a devotional that I just published this last year with a friend, and that's about finding awe and wonder in everyday life. And currently, I am writing fiction, trying to write, figure it out. As for a job that pays the bills, I work in tech.
Okay. Very cool. Well, first of all, I want to say how amazing it is that you were able to just experience being a third culture kid, of having that experience of living overseas and being able to, and then going back as an adult, as an aimer, and being able to kind of help the missionaries there. And your son, I think we were kind of just talking earlier about how there are very few pilots and that are apostolic, and that your son is one of those, that very small percentage. So that is very cool.
Yes, there aren't. I think it's like 0.0001 something of people who are actually pilots in this world. So, and I have one.
Yes, and two grandbabies.
He belongs to me.
Yes. And that is your son that has the two grand, your two grandbabies. Is that right?
That would be Austin, my other son.
Okay.
The guy who works in tech in the church, he has two babies.
Okay. So very exciting. Lots of things going on. And I love that you do grief share. And for people that don't know what that is, you definitely want to look that up because that's such an amazing ministry that you get to do. And I understand your brother, Tom Trimble's church, is that correct? In St. Louis? Okay. In St. Charles. Wonderful church, wonderful pastor.
So blessed.
They are just amazing people. So that must be a wonderful atmosphere to just kind of be involved in so many different things.
Yes.
I wanted to kind of talk because you said writing is a huge part of your ministry. And I have read Hello New Life and so blessed with that. So blessed to read that. So you need to read that. I have not gotten a chance to read Awestruck, so I'm looking forward to that and all the other projects. But I want to ask, what led you to the writing of your books and kind of how did you start on this journey?
Sure. Well, I went through divorce 20 years ago, and I tell you, I was not prepared for that kind of pain, rejection, or grief. And I understood then why God said he hates divorce. And, and those people who do those things that God says he hates, it causes great pain to his children. And I found that I needed support. So enter my reading life. I began to devour books about healing.
So I wanted to ask you, what led you to the writing of your two books? What kind of sparked that?
Well, I went through divorce after 20 years of marriage. I was not prepared for that kind of pain and grief. I understood why God said in scriptures that he hated divorce. And I think that people who do those things that God hates, it causes great pain to his children. So I found that I needed support. And I'm a reader, and so I just began to devour books about healing from divorce, losing a spouse through divorce, losing a spouse through death, because it's very similar, the grief, I believe. And also like reading books about human resiliency of all kinds. Proverbs 13:20 tells us if you walk with the wise, you become wise. So I feel like reading is a way that it makes me feel like I'm walking with the wise, especially during this time in my life. They were words fi fitly spoken and very timely words. A book that shows up at the right time, it just really feels like a gift. And so these words began to mix with my own thoughts that I was having about healing from divorce. And I began to journal, and I knew that someday I was going to share these words. During that time, I went back to college and I got a professional communication degree and a minor in English. And my English professors were like, Paula, you need to publish, you need to write. And so I took their advice. And then I also began looking in our fellowship, and I didn't find a book to help me navigate divorce. So I wrote that book, and here's Hello New Life.
Oh my. Well, I love that you were like, I see a need and I want to fill this need with a resource that I can create that will also be a blessing to those who are going through a divorce and
Okay.
help them navigate that. So that is such a beautiful thing, Paula, a gift that you are investing for others. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
I wanted to come in and I love that you were talking about books because I feel like you mentioned, walking with the wise, feeling like books that have come into your life at the right time speaking to you. So what are or what were some of the lessons that you learned after your divorce?
Sure. I think I could be bitter or better, but either way, a transformation occurs, right? And so in my book, I wrote, when I couldn't salvage my marriage, I salvaged myself. And I think God is really like on board when we're trying to salvage ourselves. He's like, okay, I'm going to help her out here. But it was such a long process. Divorce care prepared me that it said plan 1 year of healing for every 4 years of marriage. Well, I was married 20 years. We'll do the math. That's 5 years of healing. And like there were many times that I felt like I'm not moving forward. But my pastor, we've already mentioned, Dr. Trimble, says if you can't move forward, you can always go deeper. And I love that. Like, here's permission to not move forward, because hey, not all of us, having a traumatic experience can climb a mountain, run 3 miles, start a podcast all before 7 a.m., as my son Austin likes to say. Right. So back to the word deeper. Deep calls to deep. It's such a poetic way to express a cry from the heart. You know, Psalm 42, as that deer pants, longs for the water, God, so my soul longs after you as well. And it's just a longing, you know, to go deeper in when you're struggling and having difficult times. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we are told to daily get our daily bread, get what you need for those 24 hours. In Hello New Life, I write, try not to look forward 24 hours or behind 24 hours, because in that space, there's a lot of room for anxiety. But it was kind of like my way to also go a little deeper, and that is how I salvaged myself as well. And then I have, I think, three other points about lessons that I learned, but I would try to recognize as a single that we are a whole person. I think sometimes we can feel like we're half a person, especially after you're going through divorce, because through marriage, two becomes one. And so by becoming single, you might feel like you're all of a sudden a half a person. But one of the things in divorce care I took away early on is one is a whole number. And it's not deep at all, but somehow that was something that really resonated with me. Then I feel like I learned to embrace sorrow with joy, because if you just embrace sorrow, oh my goodness, that's a deep, heavy life. And so I wrote in my book, Hello New Life, I was happy before, I'm going to be happy again. Into Joy, there's a Kay Warren is her name. She lost a son, and she said this, and I'm just going to read it because it's so powerful. Life is like a set of parallel train tracks, with joy and sorrow running inseparably throughout our days. At the exact moment you and I are experiencing pain, we're also aware of the sweetness of loving and the beauty still to be found. So it's important that we embrace joy and sorrow simultaneously, because she said, like, you know, if you step back, looking back from afar, that those two train tracks aren't two at all, but they're really one. And so that kind of really helped me. I think I even used that illustration in my book to help me to remember, embrace some sorrow with joy, because they both go together. Fourth, I think Eleanor Roosevelt, she's amazing. She said, do one thing every day that scares you. And so just do that thing scared. So all of the first things after becoming single, or if you are single and you've been single all your life, sometimes I know you can connect to this as well. You know, like going on a missions trip, that can be scary. Buying a home, eating at a restaurant alone, I think I'm fine as long as I have a book with me, you know, that friend, that author. Walking into a new church, I tell you, when I moved, you know, chose the bigger life and moved to St. Louis, we had our singles director, Stacy. She would meet me at the door, and she said, "I saved you a spot," and that meant so much to me, because you know I'm used to being in church with family, and that was just so kind. And then, of course, traveling alone can be daunting, but having been a third culture kid, that was so much a part of me. And so, you know, I've flown to Dubai, Oman, Japan, and Europe several times. And I share this only to be an encouragement to our listeners to do those things that scare you and step out and embrace this season.
Absolutely. All of those things are so great, Paula. Thank you for sharing, because I think that people just who are divorced and just the overwhelmingness of it, especially in the beginning, just understanding that it's a journey that we think, oh, you know, why am I still feeling this way? And, you know, as a therapist, it's like, because it's a journey and because it takes time and because, like you said, you can have two feelings at the same time. You can have joy and you can have sadness, and they can both coincide. It doesn't have to be one or the other. They can coexist. And
Yes.
so, yes, those are all really great, great things to
It's
share.
definitely been a journey, and I love where I'm at now and the journey that life is leading me down now. And it's just like trying to enjoy each season.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, what are some of the things that assisted you in the process of healing? And I love that you said that Sister Stacy Tripp met you at the door, that there were people that were there. And I just love her and just thinking, as a singles director, I saved you a seat. Like, how precious is that? And
Right.
that just absolutely just warms my heart to knowing that there are people that see you and are like, we're going to help you. We're going to help you. But what are some of the other things that assisted you in this process of healing?
Definitely the church. God, he's created such a beautiful refuge in the church. And the church reminds us that we are not alone. It doesn't need to be the literal church that someone attends. My friend Corey, she's in Japan. She's a missionary's wife in Japan. She and I were on AIM together in Scotland, and we've just stayed friends. She's a lot younger than me, but I have a lot of friends that are older and younger than me, and I just adore her. But she reminded me that when I talk to her about my pain, my ideas, my prayers, that I'm not just talking to a friend afar, but I'm talking to a part of the church, a body member in Christ. So, we really aren't meant to isolate.
Yeah.
And then in my book, Hello New Life, I write one of my chapters is called Humanity, Jesus in Skin. And so it was people that helped me heal so much. The counselor, divorce care, family, friends were so crucial in this healing process. Sometimes we can't pick ourselves up off the floor. We need help, right? So don't isolate. And I think we learned a lesson definitely with COVID, all of this, what isolation does to people. And divorce can be really shaming. And we need people. Brené, I think it was Brené Brown, she talks about shame resilient friends. And I have those shame resilient friends. They don't ask the questions of me that, especially early on in my divorce, that I just didn't care to answer. And shame resilient friends, they don't, if you embarrass yourself, they're not gonna laugh at you. They're gonna say, oh, that kind of thing happened to me, and it's really not a big deal, So I think it was community is what where I really found healing and recognizing that we don't need to go it alone. Their presence, my friends, counselors, was a balm for the gaping wound of in my soul. And friendship have been just so important to me. I would love to recount a story. It's a short story, but it's about going to Norway. I did not want to go to Norway. I told my dad, absolutely not. I'm not going because I didn't want to leave my best friend, who also happened to be my cousin. But eventually I acquiesced. I had to. My dad packed my bags for me and I told me I was going. And so I got to Norway and I went to Norwegian school and I learned Norwegian within 3 months. And on the first day of school, a friend named or a girl befriended me. And she just said, I want to be your friend. And she was over at my house one day and she had a reindeer on her sweatshirt. And my dad said, are you from Lapland? And she said, yeah, I am. Well, it turns out all of my dad's family from Norway emigrated here. He's also from Northern Norway, from Lapland. And he's like, oh, and she said, well, that she, her dad was from Lapland. And my dad said, I've got to meet your dad. And it turns out we share the same family name. We were cousins. So God met this specific need in my life for a friend, for a friendship, who also happened to be my cousin.
Wow.
Yeah.
The things that God
So,
does for us, the things that God
yes.
does for us blows our minds so that we know that we are not alone and that there are people there that are also reaching back to us. I love that you mentioned, Paula, that you said you needed the friends, but you also said, the counselors. the divorce care, the grief share, so many different things, avenues of that asking for help, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with asking for help and for surrounding ourselves with people who are going to uplift us and not shame us
Right. Yes.
and make
And
us feel comfortable.
right. And I've asked my family many times and dear friends for help for sure. I think I would love to share about friendship. My friend told me, she goes, I love your ideas on friendships, and we can easily make assumptions, and those assumptions can be detrimental. For example, you can easily think like, oh, she would never be my friend because it looks like she has plenty of friends, or she probably wouldn't like me. I mean, even as an adult, I can have these feelings, like I'm not her type. But what if that person was to be our new BFF? My friend Rebecca, she recently shared, and I'm sure you're familiar with this research, but it's a research by Gottman, on his, it's on bids for connection. And this has helped me so much. And I think it would, it helps. His research was more for marriage, but for me, it's helped with friendship. So a bid for connection is any attempt to establish an emotional connection with someone. So example, if a friend wants to go out on a Friday and invites me, I should recognize that's a bid. They want to be with me, a bid for connection. So my brother, he moved to St. Louis about 6 months after I did, and he ended up going to a different church. But when he texts me and says, "Hey, can you meet us for lunch?" I recognize that's a bid for connection. And so I found this incredibly helpful with friendships, that I don't want these bids to escape me unnoticed. And, as like you can easily say, like Rebecca, she says, if I say, "Hey, do you want to get together?" She's like, "Oh, ask me again. I can't this weekend, or how about this next week?" And that's really helpful being a single, I feel like, because to be honest, there was a girl that I know. She asked me if I would get together with her, and I said, "I'm going to be out of town. I'm sorry, I can't." She's never asked me to get together with her again, and I'm sure it was rejection because I never followed up with a bid of my own, like, "Hey, I want to be with you." And I think just recognizing this research is just so helpful.
Absolutely, yes. And I love Gottman, and it's so true. I mean, within the marriage, it's like when somebody has a bid for affection, the healthier marriages are the ones that recognize those bids for affection and then reciprocate them. But the same can be true, like you said, in a friendship and in a relationship of any kind, when we acknowledge those and reciprocate them back, even if it's not, "Hey, I can go with you to singles conference this weekend, but I asked me in a couple months and I'll go with you to the other one, or maybe that'll work out." Then, that opens up a door to
Right.
continue to, pursue that friendship.
Right. Because we're all looking for another BFF. There's so many people out there, and just so many amazing people in this world, and I want to meet them.
You can never have too many friends. That's what I tell people. You can never have too many friends.
Exactly.
So I want to kind of ask, what encouraging words would you leave with our listeners? And you've already shared so much wisdom and so many great things, especially for those that single adults that have gone through a divorce. But is there anything else that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Probably one more thing, and it comes from my late grandmother. She always said, "There's always adjustments in life." And I think of Mr. Dear Noah, there's always adjustments in life, isn't there, when you're called upon to make a big change? He built a massive boat, one without rudders, without sails, because God wanted to direct that boat. And that wind of the spirit is pushing us all along to that same spirit. I love to read that in Genesis 1 at the beginning, hovering over the waters. I feel him hovering over each of our situations as well, and reminding you that you don't have to go it alone and that he's there for you.
Yes, that's so true. You don't have to go it alone. Don't ever have to do that. God is always there, but there's always a wonderful community And that's also why I love Singles Ministry, is because of that wonderful community that we can connect with, that people are going through the same thing, going through similar situations, and that
Yes.
understanding of that. So
Very
in
helpful.
closing, I just want to ask you how we can get your books, because I know that many of our listeners are going to ask, okay, I want to know, where can I get that? So tell us where we can get Awestruck and Hello New Life.
Okay, well, Hello New Life can be purchased at PentecostalPublishing.com or on Amazon. And then Awestruck, Finding Awe and Wonder in Everyday Life. It's a devotional that I wrote with Colleen Claybaugh, one of my favorite artists and dear friend. And this can be purchased, Awestruck can be purchased at Amazon.
Okay, very cool. And I know that you said that you have done a lot of other writing with Reflections Magazine and other kind of more to life. Is that the ladies Bible study and some other kinds of things? So I'm sure you will see Paula Nielsen's writing as you go along, and many other kind of things, resources that we have in our organization. So I appreciate that you were able to write those things, and I know that you're going to continue writing, and God's going to open up those doors. So I look forward to all the rest of the things that you are going to help make available for singles and just for apostolics in general. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, Dr. Lorraine, for having me.
Well, I'm so glad that you were here. And to all of our listeners, I know that you have been blessed, as I have been blessed, listening to Sister Paula Nielsen and talking about her journey. So thank you once again, Paula, and to
Thank
all
you.
of our listeners on Navigating Solo. Until next time, God bless.